Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behindthebadge.
Yes, this story is about a cat. A cat that was lost for 3 years. At that point, most people think they're never getting the cat back. This is Chicago's Afternoon News. I'm Lisa Dent. Steve Bertrand is here, Kevin Powell, Mary Vandeveld, and Steve Dale is going to join us. And this story will be right up his alley because he's our pet expert. But let me start out by introducing you to Anne. And Anne, you're a doctor?
I'm an emergency room doctor, yeah.
And you manage a farm that size that I've seen online. That is an amazing task.
Yes, I can suture and drive a tractor. I am a multi-purpose doctor.
That is fantastic. And what town are you in?
Geneseo, Illinois.
So the story has become bigger and bigger. You had a cat. You lost the cat 3 years ago, and the cat has come back to you. That is amazing because I think when most people lose an animal, you think you're never going to see it again if you don't get it back within a week or two. So tell everybody what happened.
So my dad was out just doing some stuff on the farm, and he had his trunk open, and we had these, they weren't kittens at that point, but we had these three cats we had rescued when they were babies. And one of them must have gotten in his trunk, and he just didn't realize it. And he was driving down the road, and he heard some noise, and instead of it going back to the farm, he just opened up the trunk, and then out pops this cat. And, of course, you know, the poor cat, scared, doesn't know where it's at, just takes off.
There was something special about this cat.
Yes. So we have actually... A lot of our cats will sit on horses, but this cat really likes to sit on horses.
And the horse doesn't mind? None of your horses mind if a cat jumps on its back and just, you know, takes a nap?
I think my horses have kind of gotten used to it. The donkey is really the one that he's lower to the ground, a little bit wider, a little bit flatter surface to sit on. But they don't mind. They're used to it. I mean, there's some of them that I think the first time the cat got on there, they're like, what are you doing? But yeah,
so
they've gotten used to it.
The cat's name is Noodles. Noodles is known for sitting on the back of a horse's rump, so to speak.
Yeah. Or
and then fast forward 3 years, you see on Facebook that somebody else has a cat that sits on the back of a horse.
Well, we were at Christmas Eve, and my brother-in-law was telling me about someone who had a horse trailer like I did, and we were trying to put two and two together who it was, and I kind of thought, well, I think I know who this is, but I looked up her Facebook page, and so lo and behold, the Facebook posting, we weren't friends on Facebook, but the post was in November 2018, a couple weeks after this cat had gone missing. And it said, does anyone know this cat? And it had showed up at her barn, and she was actually trying to rehome it. But the picture, it was on her horse. And so I'm like, that's got to be our cat, you know? And it was just like, it was so time-wise. And so I got in touch with her, and I said, hey, do you still have this cat? Because we looked and looked, and all our cats are chipped. And we had, you know, sent to the company to say, this cat's missing. And so... she still had the cat.
So Noodles came back to you. She had renamed it Max, and she was more than happy to give you your cat back.
Well, actually, Noodles did not actually come back to us. Noodles, right now, he's within 5 miles of my farm. We have multiple cats. We get cats that are abandoned or, you know, that nobody wants, and we take them in, and we get them all their medical care and chipped and shots and everything, and they have a pretty good life there, but there's a group of cats there. So when I got in contact with her, I think she really was in love with this cat, and he is the only barn cat at her farm. And so we've kind of struck up a friendship. And so I go over and I have visitation rights.
I go
over and visit Max. But my fear was if I brought him back, but I feel like he's back, if that answers that question, because I've got this new friendship with this gal. I go over and visit him. I take him treats, took him treats the other day, but I didn't want to bring him back to the farm and then have him get scared and get lost again.
Oh, that's so kind that you, you know, he has a new home and a good home. And I live on a farm as well. I don't know how she could have a barn and have one cat.
She has one cat. I know. It's like, how do you do this? I have literally gone to my tractor shed in the morning and picked it up, and people have abandoned like a box of kittens. It's like, who does that?
A lot of people.
But a lot of people do. But yeah, she's only got one barn cat, and they're just lovely people. And it turned out that her daughter and my daughter had competed against each other in equestrian events in college. So, you know, it's just kind of a small world kind of phenomena, but we've struck up a good friendship, and I can see him whenever I want, and he's so close, but I know that he's okay. And that was my important thing. And I said, hey, if you ever change your mind, that cat's got to come back to me. You can't send him anyplace else.
I love this story, and I love the pictures. I encourage people to jump online, because as long as I've spent time around animals, which is my entire life, I've never had a horse that would allow a cat to get on its back, or have I had a cat that would get on a horse's back. So this is a special cat, and whatever you've got going on your farm is pretty cool and magical and peaceful if all the animals coexist.
Thank you. It is. It's very nice.
Thank you for sharing that story on the show today. And thank you for being an ER doctor in what has to be the toughest during modern times to do.
It is. In my 30 years, I don't think I've ever seen anything like this. And I hope I don't ever again. So,
well, thank you
for saying that.
Thank you. Be well. What a story. And that she has visitation rights. Steve Dale is in the studio. You know him, host of Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio on Sundays. Can you believe it? Because usually, you know, when you lose an animal, you've got about a week or two.
Yeah, that's right. And what a story. My gosh. And what she didn't, I think she was about to say, I'm afraid that if I took the cat back to my place, this cat would just run off and go right back to this other place anyway.
That's right.
And, you know, what a nice story from all perspectives. And a cat riding a horse? I've not even heard of that.
Oh, the pictures are great. She's from Geneseo, Illinois. You need to jump online and check it out. Steve's got a lot to share with us coming up, right?
Oh, you bet.
We'll talk about COVID sniffing dogs, which is amazing, how to protect your dog in this weather. And what's your other story you want to chat about?
I want to talk about a trend that's happening in Chicago that I don't like, and we'll leave it at that for now.
I know Cat Stevens, and I love Cat Stevens, but I don't know this song. I'm glad you played it, Brian. It's
a good bumper.
You know this?
You bet. Yeah, yeah.
This is Chicago's Afternoon News. Hi, I'm Lisa Dent. Steve Bertrand is here, Kevin Powell, Mary, and Steve Dale, who you know from Steve Dale's Pet World on WGN Radio, Sundays from 5:30 to 6 in the morning, and then again from 1 to 3 in the afternoon. And we've got a big storm that is not going to hit Chicago, but everybody else is going to be impacted in the Midwest, and that's a big concern for people with animals, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. I mean, storm or not, if it's cold outside, we should be doing certain things. So if you have a small dog, a dog I'll define for the purposes of this conversation, say under 20 pounds, that dog should be, must be, absolutely have a coat or a jacket or a sweater. And if that sweater says Chicago Blackhawks on it, all the better. That's stylish, in my opinion, but definitely needs something. Dogs that are small dogs can't retain heat. And, you know, I remember saying this on the radio years ago with Bob Collins sitting right there, right?
Wow.
And Uncle Bobby said, well, y'all, I don't get that. People like you are saying this, and years ago, our dogs, they lived just fine when great-grandpa had a dog. Well, you know what? Those dogs were a bit more acclimated, perhaps, to the cold weather because they were outside a lot. That wasn't the right thing to do, necessarily. And when you see a dog shiver, it isn't for attention. It's because the dog is really cold. Also, sighthounds. So they have a percent of body fat that I'd like. It's under 20%, well under. They desperately need, even if it's under 40 degrees, a coat, a sweater, a jacket, whether we're talking greyhound, a larger sighthound, or an Italian greyhound, a smaller sighthound, or anything in between like a whippet or a saluki, they need a coat or a sweater as well. Now, for those big dogs, the Malamutes, the Huskies, they live for this weather. They want to be outside. That's fine unless, in my view, we go down to single-digit temperatures, because even those dogs have a rough time with it. And when they come in the house, there's a reason why they're sitting right next to wherever the heat comes out of in your house.
Exactly. I've got one of those huskies and he lives for this. But I'm telling you what, if it's down around one, if it's below zero, it does damage to him as well because he's acclimated to the house.
Right.
He lives inside. If
That's
he was
right.
outside in Alaska 24/7, it would be different. But today is your day because it's Dress Your Dog Day.
I did not know that. My wife is already probably now that she's heard this, putting on various outfits that our dog has. Our dog does animal-assisted therapy for Rainbow Animal Assisted Therapy. And when they went all virtual, she said, well, what can I do for the kids? You know, I'm here. I'm miles away on my computer, so what can I do? So what she would do are fashion shows, and the kids loved it. So she would dress our little Chihuahua Terrier mix, who didn't mind at all. She liked the attention in one outfit, then another outfit, then another outfit. Yeah, I think our dog has more coats than I have.
Yeah, I have a couple Australian Border Collie mixes. What do you think would happen if I put clothes on them?
They'd probably run right out of the clothes if
yes,
they could.
Immediately. Thank you for joining us on the text line and on the phone line at 312-981-7200. We're getting a lot of people talking about inflation. We were asking like where it's hitting you the most. People are complaining about hamburger, a cup of soup at Panera is now $7.19, hamburger and the gas pumps. What about dog food and pet food? Has that been impacted?
Yeah, actually that is a You're brilliant. That's a great question. Because if you have a, you know what I'm talking about, friends, if you have a prescription diet that you need for your dog, some of those prescription diets right now are very hard to find because of supply issues. And when things are hard to find, I guess I need an economist to explain it to me. It's supply and demand, right? So the price goes up. And that's what we've seen happen. And the prescription foods are not inexpensive in the first place. So now they've gone up, some of them, even more. And the concern is that this could happen with pet food as well. And we know that that could be a problem, too, for people that can't afford, you know?
Mm-hmm. You're getting an advance on what Steve Dale is going to talk about this weekend on WGN on Steve Dale's Pet World, because there is something that is really making you mad.
But what's making me mad? Give me a hint.
Is it something about leashes?
Oh, yes! Thank you! I didn't know if it was a Betty White thing, and I love Betty White. She could not make me. I want to talk about that, too, and I know you do. But yes, there's this trend that's driving me crazy. It began somewhere during the pandemic where people more and more, have you noticed this, friends? Their dogs are off leash. I don't know why, but they're walking down the street, and their dog or dogs, in some cases, are walking with them off leash.
In the city?
In the city. And my concern, well, where do I begin? There are streets and, you know, people who defend this say, well, guide dogs walk around without a leash. Well, they're well trained. And even those dogs have a, actually, they don't walk around without a leash. They know to stop at stoplights, perhaps, but they have a harness on and they're not free to walk anywhere. There's also a concern if, okay, what if that dog, people that are afraid of dogs, for example, and I don't have much sympathy. If I have my dog on a leash or a dog on a leash, even if that dog is an intimidating pit bull, to me, not so intimidating necessarily. But nevertheless, if that person crosses to the other side of the street, I roll my eyes. But if I've got a dog off leash and the person's walking the other way, people that are afraid of dogs elicit a response very often from the dog. And even if it's a bark that's a friendly bark, they don't know or understand. They get very scared, and then the dog responds that way. You can get a lawsuit.
Yes, you can.
So the dog jumps on you, or a child, you know.
Yeah.
So, but my biggest concern is that the dog sees a squirrel or a rabbit on the other side of the street. Dog gets hit by a car. That dog is perfect for 8 years. But one time is all it takes.
I've learned. You can know your dog through and through, but there are certain things that will trigger them and you don't see it coming.
Yeah.
So don't put your dog in a position where it might get hit by a car or attacked by another dog or chased. I mean, you just
Any
don't know.
Yep.
So the Betty White Challenge is underway. Monday would have been her 100th birthday. There's a big event in Oak Park tomorrow. We talked to the organizer.
Oh, nice.
And then many charities are, you know, supporting this hashtag Betty White Challenge, meaning giving her name to the favorite animal charity of your choice.
So I've interviewed a Betty White, I don't even know how many times, bunch of times, because whenever I called her assistant, Donna, at the time, she would say, oh, Steve, well, of course. You know, and the reason she would say that is I served and still do on the board of an organization that's similar to a board that she forever served on, she would say, well, they can't get rid of me, I guess, so I'm still here. For decades, decades, I would say to her, they need term limits, Betty. And she was, and she would go to meetings. I'm talking about the Morris Animal Foundation. So I'll tell you, and we're talking to their CEO this afternoon on my Sunday show. We're also talking to Joanne Worley. Remember her?
Oh,
from Laughing.
Yes.
She is the president of Actors and Others for Animals. So these are two of the organizations, as well as the LA Zoo, that Betty cared, I would argue, the most about. So if one goes ahead and gives to a local shelter, Betty would love that. Great. Mm-hmm. Give to Paws Chicago anytime, right?
In fact, they're listing the names on their website of everyone who gives at pawschicago.org.
And that's great, yeah. You know, or give to another animal shelter. It doesn't matter. That is just fine, assuming it's a legitimate animal shelter. That is a good thing.
Yes.
However, I'm asked frequently, what organizations would Betty want you to give to? And the Morris Animal Foundation and the LA Zoo, actually, as well as Actors and Others for Animals, she was probably closest to.
Now, let's talk quickly. I've got about a minute about COVID-sniffing dogs. Eric Church is one of my favorite country music artists. And last fall, he bought a team of dogs. He has, I don't know how many, but these dogs are on tour with him. And they go into a venue and they sniff it out for COVID. Are you shocked by this?
Oh, no. I mean, I've talked about this on the radio many times. First of all, how lucky he is to tour with dogs.
Yes.
I mean, backup singers are fun, but this is more fun to me. First of all. Secondly, yes, of course. I mean, if they can, and they do, sniff out diabetes, diabetic alert dogs. I mean, they in the middle of the night, they could be sound asleep, and they can smell if someone has a diabetic spike or the diabetes, the insulin drops. Mm-hmm. They know it, you know, cancer detecting dogs. There's an organization right here in Chicago, an ovarian cancer organization that has supported funding for Dr. Cynthia Otto, who did the initial research, by the way, for COVID sniffing dogs. So yes, they can do this.
I saw some video of they're using them in Boston schools. They go into the lunchroom after the kids leave and they can determine where the COVID germs are and what child might have it. And so wouldn't it be nice? And how lucky are we to have dogs in our life?
I have nothing. Yes. You top anything I could possibly say with that statement. Dogs are amazing.
They are. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you. And congratulations on this is our official first time together for you in this shift. And you are a rock star.
Oh, it's
you're
the
doing great
end
job.
Of the second week. And it feels like it's been a minute. You know? Feels like it's been a minute.